Being here, appreciate the opportunity to come, be here tonight. I wore this tie just for Goosby. I told him, I said, Goosby, you're ugly enough without cutting your hair off. You're left out on there, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter number 1. I appreciate the opportunity to come. My boy's in college and went to work a little bit, try to help him pay for his college. And so that's why I haven't been here this week, but I appreciate the opportunity to come. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 1. Preach to you what I felt like the Lord put on my heart. He said this, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, he said, even as they delivered them unto us from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of these of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Let's pray. Father, thank you again tonight for the privilege, Lord, that we have to come to the house of God. God, I thank you for the songs that we've heard tonight. I thank you for how you spoke to our heart, God. That I thank you for this church. I thank you for their pastor. And God, I pray you just bless them. God, I pray that everything that's done here tonight may it bring honor and glory to your name. And all you do for us, we give you the praise, for it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I just come out of vacation Bible school last week at our church, and I sat there every night, and one of the words that they used every night was extreme. And I got to thinking about that word extreme. I began to look in the Bible, could not remember ever reading the word extreme. But I began to look, and it is in there a couple of times, the word extreme. But I got to thinking about some things that was extreme. Amen. And when you really begin to think about it, there's some things in our day that we believe that they think that we're extreme on. Amen. And I want to preach tonight on people think we're extreme because of most of the things because of what we believe. They think we're extreme because we believe this Bible. Can I say tonight, I don't apologize because I believe this King James. Amen. I didn't come to preach in my opinion and my convictions, all this, but if we'd ever get back just to preaching this book, we'd have been a lot better off than we are today. Amen. But there's some things that God said in this Bible that people think are extreme. I begin to get the word up extreme, and the word extreme means this. It means exceeding that of the ordinary. And I begin to read this Bible, and I realize tonight there's some things that exceed the ordinary. Some things when I begin to look at that's hard to believe sometimes, but I believe them. Amen. A man asked me one time, he said, "Preacher, do you believe that Bible so much to believe that a great fish swallowed a man and then keep him 3 days and pick him up on the dry ground?" I said, "As sure as men are talking, I believe it." Amen. I believe this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I believe tonight it is the Word of God. I believe what we need in our pulpits today is just go back to preaching this book. Thus saith the Word of God. Amen. And we'd be a lot better off if we left our opinions, our convictions out of the pulpit, and got this old black book and opened it, and said, "Thus saith the Word of God." Amen. I begin to look at this Bible. When I look at this Bible, I see some things that exceed the ordinary. I see some people that God used that exceeded the ordinary. Amen. I mean, when you really begin to think about them, you say, "How in the world did God do that? How did it all happen?" I want to give you some words here, all right? First of all, I looked in this Bible. I found out there was some extreme obedience. Amen. And the first man I want to talk about in Genesis chapter number 6, you find a man
man by the name of Noah. Listen to me, it never rained. Amen. I never rained. God said, Noah, that's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go on top of that mountain. I want you to build an ark. It's how wide I want you to build it. It's how long I want you to build it. I want you to put a door in the side of it. I want you to put a window in the top of it. God laid it out. Just like God wanted it. And Noah said, listen, it never rained. But you know what? Noah didn't say, God, it never rained. Oh, Noah, it's got his tools. And up the top of the mountain, he went to build the ark like God told him to build. But I want to tell you, when he got it built, and God put Noah's family in there, and the animals in there, and God shut the door, it began to rain. Never rain. Never rain. But God said, build an ark. Noah said, I'm just going to go build an ark. Amen. Hey, if we could ever just get back to obeying God, I wonder what we could do for God tonight. Amen. Don't you know something else? I find another man in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. You find a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham went there and got Sarah. Sarah said, where are we going, Abraham? He said, I don't know. I just know God said move. Amen. I want to tell you something. When God says move, that's when you better move. Amen. Hey, that's when you better be following tonight. Amen. God takes Sarah by the hand and said, I don't know. I'm just looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. He takes off from there. Then I got to thinking, on over in that book, Abraham said, Isaac, you got a little trip to take. We're heading to the top of the mountain. And they head up that mountain. Isaac says this. He said, Daddy, we got all the wood. We got everything for a sacrifice. But where's the sacrifice? And God said he will provide himself a sacrifice. As sure as we're sitting in this tabernacle tonight. When Abraham left the bottom of that mountain and heads to the top, I believe in his heart he thought his boy was dead that day. But listen to me. He gets to the top of the mountain. He lays him on that altar. Draws back that knife. And God touches him. And said, listen, Abraham. Look right over there. There's a ram caught by the horns. Atop of one day. That the Lord Jesus Christ would come to Calvary and call obedience and die for you and I that we can have life and have it more abundantly. I want to tell you something tonight. If you can't get excited about being saved, your exciter's tore up. Then I looked on over in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. You find a man by the name of Josiah. Woman, 8 years old. But God's fixing to make him king. Hey, man. Hey, I got to reading about it. You know what he did? He actually got in there. He got to tearing them idols up. He got destroying them. Hey, when they got them destroyed, you know what they found? They found the scrolls. Hey, they found the Word of God. Hey, I want to tell you what needs to happen in a lot of people's life. The idols need to be destroyed. Amen. Things need to move out of their life. They need to become obedient to God. You say, preacher, what keeps us from being obedient? Things in our life, idols in our life, things we won't give up in order to obey God. I've had people say, well, preacher, God can have this part of my life, but I don't want God to have this part. I say, what God wants is all of us. Amen. I'm telling you, when I look in this Bible, I find extreme obedience. Amen. You know what he said? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. Don't you know something else? I found not only extreme obedience, but I found extreme trust in this Bible. Amen. I want you to notice in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I don't got time to go there. Listen to me. You find a man by the name of David. Hey, man. Oh, David trusted him. You say, preacher, look what he did, but he trusted him. Hey, man. Hey, listen to me. God, his daddy sent him down there just to watch them sheep and take care of them sheep. here come a buyer, and here come a lion. And he took care of them. You know what God was doing? He's preparing Daniel for, I mean, David for a fight, amen. Hey, there was a fight fixing to happen a few days, man. A few chapters over, something was fixing to take place, amen. They send David down there to the battle. David takes that cheese down there, that food down there, right? And then there wasn't no battle going on, amen. Goliath just come out and roar. But David said this. David said, I believe this is what David said. I believe I'm taking. Amen. I believe David said, I'm taking. David done put his trust in God. David done whipped the bear and the lion. Don't you imagine that when he went back down there to Saul's house, and Saul said, try his armor, and David put it on. He said, hey, listen, I don't know nothing about this armor, but I think he might have reached in his back pocket. I pulled out that slingshot, brother Don, and said, I know something about this, amen. I went down there by that brook. I picked up them five smooth stones and got them out of there. I put them down that pack. Hey, listen to me, I always wondered if he picked five up for grace, but I got to read another day. I got standing a while back and realized he had four brothers, amen. I believe he went down there and said, hey, listen, I get through whooping him, I'm going to have to whoop him other four too, probably, amen. But listen, he walked down that valley. Hey, listen, he done whooped the bear and the lion. He done trusted God all them years. Hey, you know what he said? I believe he walked in that lion down in there, Brother Tweedy. He said, man alive, ain't no way I'd miss him, amen. I believe he slunk that rock in that slingshot. God took a hold of that rock, planted in his head. You say, what do you say, preacher? I said he done trusted him. When he got there, he found out he could trust him again. I read in this Bible, holding the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, you find three Hebrew boys. Hey, they found out they could trust him. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, you can trust him. The problem is a lot of people got their trust in the wrong thing. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you something. You can put your trust in him. Hey, you can anchor there. Amen. Hey, come down there and say, hey, listen. You hear the sound of the music. You got to bow. Hey, say, we ain't going to bow. We ain't going to bow. We ain't going to bow. Amen. They said, you're going to the fire. They said, we still ain't going to bow. You know what they said? If he don't go to the fire, we're still going to the fire. But you know what? The Bible said when they got in the fire, how the king come down there where they was, how he said this, I thought we threw three in the fire. He said, oh, we did. He said, but there's four in there. And one is like unto the Son of God. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when the fire's on. I'm saying when the heat's on. I'm saying when everybody else seems not care. I'm telling you, you can trust God. He'll go the fire with you. Amen. I ran on over. I found a man by the name of Daniel. He said, Daniel, you can't pray. You know what Daniel did? Daniel went over and sat down and said, well, I can't pray no more. Daniel went over and said, God, you know how bad it is down here. God, they won't even let me pray no more. Said, God, they won't let me pray. They won't let me pray. Hey, my boy graduating public school. I got two in public school tonight. They say, you can't pray. We pray. I won't tell you what we did. We quit trusting God. We went trust everything else. Hey, man. Hey, they still pray at the football games down where I live. Hey, man. My boy went to Coalfield in high school. We go to everywhere else, go to Rockwood, everywhere else, and down some of them other schools down there. And they was praying. We went praying at the private school. I went in the principal's office, sat down. I said, I got a problem. He said, what's the problem? I said, I don't know why we can't pray at our Friday night football games. He said, that's why he said, well, I reckon we can. I said, well, find somebody to do it. He said, well, what we need is we need somebody in the student body to do it. I said, I know where he's at. What room's he in right now? Hey, man. Hey, you know what? His junior, senior year, we prayed at the football games. Hey, didn't nobody come say it's wrong to pray at the football games. I want to tell you what we did. We got scared to pray.
serve God. We're afraid to serve Him. We're afraid to stand up for Him. I want to tell you tonight, the one that saved us by His marvelous grace, you can trust Him. He'll walk with you.
It's preaching time. Hey man, you can trust Him now. Hey, listen to me. Job trusted Him. Job trusted Him. Let me go back to Daniel this minute. Old Daniel said, listen, I tell you what I'm going to do. I believe old Daniel left that king. I don't believe he stopped nowhere. Brother Oliver, I believe he walked right back up there to where he's living. I believe he opened that window again. I believe he looked towards heaven and called on God. You know what I heard a stupid preacher say the other day? He said they take him down the lion's den or even down the lions and threw him in there. They wasn't hungry. Why would you take a man down there for punishment if he wasn't hungry? Yeah. Amen. Yes, hey, but listen to me. You say, preacher, what happened? This is my, to you doctors that are here tonight, this is my philosophy of what happened. Amen. He walked, even when his feet hit that den, he looked over that big lion and said, lay down, man. He said, I'm tired. I believe he laid down. I believe Daniel rode right up the side of him, laid on him. I believe he went to sleep. And the king's empire tore all to pieces. You know what I found out? I found out you serve God. I found out you trust God. I found out you do what's right. I found out the devil's crowd get tore up all the time. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can do like Daniel. You can go lay your head down on your pillow at night and go to sleep while the devil's crowds are rolling. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you something. It ain't this the devil's crowd out there. Some of them sit on the pews. But they must have been hungry, because that king come down and threw the rest of them in and they eat them. The book of Job, you find a man that trusted Him. Hey, God trusted Job. He said, listen to him. He said, you can do whatever you want to do to him. He took his family, took his hand. I mean, he took her all. Job sat back on them ashes from bulls from top of his head to sole of his feet. His wife comes out and said, Job, won't you curse God and die? He said, you talk to a foolish woman. You say, why, preacher? He had his trust in Him. Hey, man. Hey, you know what God did? God gave Job more to end than he had to begin. I remember when I worked full-time at the gas company, I come in one day, one Monday, and I said, listen, guys, I'm going to give you a two-week notice. I'm leaving. I'm going to go pasture full-time. It's what they said. You'll starve to death. You can look and tell I ain't starved there. Hey, man. Hey, listen to me. If you could trust Him years ago, you can trust Him today. I was pastoring when 2000 come in. I told some of my people on Sunday morning, I said, I hope to God that y'all went and bought a bunch of water and everything. Worried about you ain't going to have no water, and it struck 2000. Two of my women walked out and said, preacher, we got a bathroom full of it. I said, well, all I can tell you, go buy your swimming pool and pour it in it. Amen. Hey, it's amazing. If God took care of us all this time, God will take care of us today. Amen. Hey, I closed my Bible tonight if I didn't believe it. Amen. Hey, people's wringing their hands today. They wringing their hands because of the economy. I ain't wringing my hand because of the economy. Last time I read this book, God is still in control. His Bible said He owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. That preacher in Georgia said He owned the hills, the potatoes under the hills. He owns her all tonight. If I go down, I'm going down trusting Him. Amen. He's took care of me this long. He'll take care of us. Amen. Hey, man. They say, oh, preacher,
Some of my men, some of my people come to me and say, "Preacher, I think they fixed to lay some of our men off." I said, "Listen, we pay our tithes, do what God told us to do. God will keep us a job. I ain't worried about it." Amen. I ain't worried about it. We voted the other day, been on the building. I'm not worried about it. They won't give us the money yet, but we're going to get it. If we have to get a gun, go up there and hold him up. Amen. Hey, but listen to me. I'm not worried about it. Amen. I remember years ago, my dad run Dalton Rescue Mission. Years ago. Hardest bunch of people you ever worked for is a bunch of preachers. Amen. The reason that we don't preach on washing dishes we can't find in the Bible. Listen to me. I remember years ago they walked in Dalton Rescue Mission and told my dad, said, "Daddy want to do some things, you know, and you sit there in the work and pray about it and everything, but preachers are more spiritual than the man that's running the work doing all that." So they come in and voted him out. Didn't have nowhere to go. I remember Christmas time rolled around, Brother Arvin. And I remember sitting at the breakfast table. Mother said, Clarence said, "Everybody's coming in for Christmas," and said, "These kids aren't, so we ain't got nothing to eat. So what do you want me to do?" He said, "I'll tell you what you do. You take the rest of these kids to town and give me about 3 or 4 hours. And when you get back, I'll tell you what we're going to do." I never will forget we got back in town. Mother said, "Clarence, what are we going to do?" He said, "God just said he'd take care of it. I don't know how. I don't know where. But God said he'd take care of it." My oldest brother was assistant pastor at Corinth down in Atlanta, Georgia at that time around Stone Mountain. They run about 500. Ricky is coming home for Christmas. And he had a 1976 Monte Carlo. And Ricky standing at the back door on Wednesday night and he's leaving on Thursday coming home. The man walked through the back door on the way out of church and said, "Brother Rick," said, "I was at work today and God told me to give you $100. You know what to do with it." He said, "In a little while, another man walked by and said, Rick," I said, "I don't know why, but I was at work today and God told me to give you $100. And you know what to do with it." Rick said, "I sat there a little while, another man come by. Said, Rick, I was at work today. And a man said, and God told me to give you $100. Rick said, in about 30 minutes, I had $300. And he done called home and said, "Mother, you need anything?" She said, "Everything's all right." But Ricky went by Kroger's and he stopped and he spent $300. When he got there, we walked out the car. I knew we'd forget it. And he walked in the house. He said, "Boys, come out here." Me and my little brother and brother next to me and daddy. We walked out of that car. He popped that truck. That's the biggest truck I've ever seen in my life. It was stacked plumb full of groceries, brother. I want to tell you, the last time I seen my daddy, he was going down through the woods. You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying you can trust him. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody else may go bankrupt. Everything else may fall apart. But I want to tell you tonight, as the Bible said, you can trust him. And you just stay with him and do what he says do. You put your trust in him. He said extreme obedience and extreme trust. I found another word in here. He talked about extreme joy. I read over in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Mary when that angel come down there and said, "You're the one. You've been picked. You've been picked to carry the Son of God." Hey, I remember that day I come home and Kim was pregnant with that first boy. I remember how excited we was. I can't imagine how Mary must have felt that day. But then the Bible said something else on down there. Elizabeth, the Bible said she couldn't have one. That's what everybody thought. But the Holy Ghost tested her. And the Bible said there was one leaping in the womb. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, doctors don't have all of the answers. Amen. Hey, but I got a hold of something the other day. I never had read it like I read it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. He said he endured the cross. Before he said that, he said with joy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And then we tell him how bad it is down here. We tell him how much we're going through. Hey, man, they ain't never whipped me yet. And some of them probably like to, but they ain't never done it. They ain't never crucified me. They ain't never robbed me. They ain't never done none of that. But that's true. On the cross of Calvary, he endured the cross. Let me give you these last two. I found another word. Extreme forgiveness. Don't let me kill it right here, but listen to me. Wonder what it would be like in our churches if we'd have grabbed a hold of the word forgiveness years ago. Wonder what it'd been like for preachers if we'd have grabbed a hold of the word forgiveness years ago. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm going to say this, Brother Duncan tells me to leave. I just have to leave, all right? Do you know what we have did in the independent realm? Because you don't dot your I's like I dot my I's. You don't cross your T like I cross my T. You're cut off. And then we come to camp meetings and we say, whoo! We shout her out. And we won't even talk to our brother across the aisle. I'm going to talk to preachers now because I am one. Amen. And we say everything's all right. But we won't even talk to the brothers. They won't even fellowship with them. You don't believe it like I believe it. You're just executed. You're cut off. Amen. Amen. I know where I'm at too. I know what county I live in too. I know what county I used to preach in too. I used to pastor in the independent headquarters of America in Rome County. Hello. I'm still preaching. Because they don't believe it like you believe it. You know what? You don't preach to them. You don't fellowship with them. But I done told them I do not care. Hey, listen to me. I told my church Sunday, hey, I don't give a rip. They can jump it, lump it, stump it, whatever they want to do. I do not care. I got more preaching I can get done anyway to my people. Hey, listen to me. God, the independence didn't call me. God called me. I'm going to preach this book and do my best for God. As long as God says, well done, I don't care what the independence is. Amen. I love them tonight. They won't even wave at you if you don't believe like they believe. You know what we do? Then we go to our pulpits and scold our people because they won't forgive when we in the pulpit won't forgive. But I found out there's one that forgive. Amen. You know what? He didn't just forgive some of my sins. He forgave all of my sins. Amen. You know what he did? He said they're all under the blood. You say, preacher, what does God see when he sees you? The blood. Amen. That's all he sees. Everybody else in this county, whatever county you're from, might remember what you used to be, but God does not remember. I'm glad he forgave me. Amen. Then extreme love. You find extreme love. You find in Luke chapter 10 at Good Samaritan. Religion come by, I couldn't do nothing for them. Law come by, I couldn't do nothing for them. But the Good Samaritan come by. And this is what he said. He did all he did. Took him down to that inn and said, listen, whatever he owes on the way back, I'll take care of that. Hey, man. Hey, it'd do us good to get out of our pews. Hey, it'd do us good to get behind them stained glass windows, get out behind them. Hey, step out in the parking lots and get in our cars and do what God called us to do. Hey, man.
That's love, people. Amen. Amen. I don't care what they look like when they come to my church.
I'm going to try to love them to Calvary. I'm going to try to pull them to Calvary. Amen. Say, why, preacher? I remember what Wesley was in his life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ loved me. John chapter 19 said he loved me. When he dropped his head on the apostle's chest that night, he said, it's finished. Price had been paid. He paid. He asked men to come. Be born again. Somebody, if it means to be extremist, if it means to be extreme, to believe the things of this Bible, then I'm extreme. Because I believe her from Genesis to Revelation. Listen to me. Preachers, it'd do us good if we just get back to preaching this old black book. Hey, this book has changed people's lives. Amen. I told them down where I'm at, and I'm closing, and some of them is glad. But I down where I live, I told them, I said, we've busted all these things that we got standards, convictions about, and we preach them about them. Listen to me. If they ever get saved, we preach this book to them. Got to take this book, straighten them out. My daddy said something the other day. I said, you're right, daddy. He said, we try to clean a bunch of fish we ain't never caught. It's about hard to do, ain't it?